Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to The Promised Land, a show about Manchester United and part of the 90 Min Podcast Network. I'm Scott Saunders, joined by Rob Blanchett. As per usual, international break time. What is there to talk about, Rob? Outside of, oh, the ownership has come back up again. What a surprise. This 11-month-long saga that we still are no closer to an answer to has some developments which have moved the story about 1%.
Is it even 1%?
It's not even 1%, is it?
Is it going backwards, Scott? I don't know. Like, it feels like going back in time, doesn't it? International break, therefore less to talk about. I always say, don't I, that I like to just talk about football and keeping it rooted in that. But when there isn't any football, we have to talk about other stuff as well, don't we? So we're going to do that today and try and give you some real international break breaking news.
Yeah, we did. We have said at points that we wouldn't really talk about the ownership developments until there are actual developments. I suppose if you read your social medias and this kind of thing, then there have been developments. But I don't know about. I'm sure there's probably people listening to this and or watching this and are thinking nothing's changed at all. So we'll talk about what the situation is according to different sources in the media and according to what Rob and I trying to understand about the situation. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Golden Boy, Rasmus Højlund. He's on the list, the 25-player shortlist for Golden Boy. That award has been previously won by Wayne Rooney, Anderson, Paul Pogba, and Anthony Martial. So I don't think he's going to win it. I'll say that. I think Jude Bellingham's going to win it. But yeah, good that Rasmus is on there for his exploits over the last year. We'll talk a bit of Harry Maguire as well. He's going to play probably for England during the international break against Australia or play Italy as well, don't they? But yes, Maguire's been doing some press responsibilities and seems to have turned babyface, to put it in wrestling terms. So we'll talk about that towards the end of the show. Ownership at the top, so we'll get to that in a second. But subscribe wherever you get your pods and watch us on YouTube, The Promised Land of Manchester United Podcast. Like the video, subscribe, leave a comment, and hit the notification bell so you don't miss a show. Follow us on social media as well at @_ScottSaunders. @_Rob_B and @PromisandMU on X, @_Rob_B on YouTube as well for his channel. And then, yeah, just get in touch with us, get in the comments, all this kind of thing. And we will see what we can do. We'll maybe answer some questions maybe next week or something like that if you have them, because it is international break and interest in football runs dry. So that means that we have to come out with stuff that is going to bring us them clicks, you know. That's kind of the way that the football media world works. It's frustrating, Rob, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just annoying. Frustrating. Like, yeah, look, I also have Man United. United is the gift that keeps giving, especially in our industry. And there's always something to talk about. Like today, we will do the show and we will talk about things, won't we? It's just that it ebbs and flows, doesn't it? Especially during international breaks where there's a bit of downtime. And we see kind of common patterns, don't we, during the international breaks? So we can talk a little bit about that today, about how that works and why things are said at a certain time.
Yeah, so the latest is there's some sources saying that Sir Jim Ratcliffe is ahead. There's other sources saying Qatar are ahead and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, for me, nothing's really changed for the last few months. No. And well, maybe Sir Jim's approach has changed in the last few months to how he wants to get his foot in the door at United. I think we've done updates on 90 Min in recent weeks as well. But the way I see it is really that Sir Jim is doing whatever he can to make his way in, whether that's taking full ownership, which is what he essentially tried to do before, to now taking a smaller stake, working alongside the Glazers, which is something he obviously, or Ineos, have made clear that they were potentially willing to do in order to get their foot in the door and eventually, over a step-by-step process over the next few years, eventually assume full control and phase out the Glazers. That's not a popular popular way towards it with the fans, obviously, who want the Glazers gone. I think most United fans, if not all United fans, agree with that. But Sir Jim is trying to find a way to essentially please the seller. And you have Qatar, who are the other main party in the running here to buy Manchester United. I think their offer stands at about £5 billion at the moment. And they promise to wipe clear the club's debt and also invest. The club's debt stands at about £700 million, I want to say, just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And the Glazers have not moved for several months. So, Rob, where do you see this? What has anything changed? What's your current take on the situation?
Not a lot has changed. Like, obviously, we keep up to date with this. Like we've said, we won't chat too much expansively about it, especially when there's not a lot of change in the background with our own contacts and sources. The only thing that has edged slightly differently, and we've known this for a number of weeks, is that Ineos will talk to the Glazers about a minority stake, but not a minority stake as in, here's a load of money, goodbye, we're quiet in the background, which I think we've kind of seen at Liverpool and other places around the world where clubs and owners, especially American owners, are trying to attract additional funds to do stuff for their football clubs. But what they've tried to be able to put in place here is an exit route for the Glazers over an extended period of time. Now, why would that be something that the Glazers liked, say, over a load of money from Qatar? Well, there's two or three different reasons for that. One is the valuation. One is that Sir Jim Ratcliffe values the club higher than Qatar, which I think is curious, Scott, to just say the least. Like, if you're buying Manchester United for the reasons that Qatar want to buy them, then there's kind of almost an unlimited ceiling of worth. Do you know what I mean? If you're a petroleum company like Ineos and you're wanting to buy a football club or a sports project, which is what they've done across the world, they've bought into Formula One and they've bought all sorts of, you know, football clubs and one thing or another, then there is probably a ceiling. You know, it's probably like you can probably only go so far. And Ineos at the moment value Manchester United as a company more than Qatar. So we have to always ask, why is that? There's been a lot here about what Qatar really want Man United for, whether they really do want Man United, because they are worth about £1 trillion in terms of the background of the family and the country itself. And yet they're not doing what I would say absolutely everything to buy the club. So, you know, Scott, the question is why? Why? Why is it that Jim Ratcliffe is trying to find an exit strategy for the Glazers over a long period of time? And it would be long. It'd be 3 to 4 years. It wouldn't be immediate. And yet Sheikh Jassim and the family and the backers in Qatar are just saying, yeah, we're clear the debt, we'll buy the club, we'll do all this, but we don't actually value the club higher than the other guy. Doesn't make sense, does it, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not defending the Glazers
at all.
Like, no, and neither is Rob. We're not defending the Glazers at all here. But the fact of the matter is, like, whether the Glazers have set the value publicly, really, at $6 billion. Now, Qatar have not met that. Like, no matter what you think, no matter how much you are behind that bid, they have not met that asking price. There's even suggestions, and it's been kind of suggested to me, that the Glazers look at the Commanders. I think it's Washington Commanders in NFL.
Yeah.
And they've just been sold for a similar price to that. And when you consider the Washington Commanders, who are like one of the worst teams in the NFL,
yep,
versus Manchester United, who are one of the biggest football clubs in the world with global appeal versus US appeal, shouldn't Man United be worth higher, a lot higher than that, because of the global appeal? So, you know, the Glazers, I think minimum price really is £6 billion. And nobody has met that yet. So Jim's bid in increments might be worth a little bit more than that. But the fact of the matter is, if you're back in the Qatar bid, they need to do more to buy Manchester United than their current offer, because all the Glazers are set to receive here, there's six siblings and they would be receiving £5 billion. That is not enough for them to sell. So something has to change in that. Like, that bid's been on the table for God knows how many months. And yes, the whole package may be worth $6 billion or over that, but you got to remember, the Glazers are only receiving five. There's a billion-ish to clear the debt, and there's extra investment on top of that, which will go into making United, you know, up to speed in terms of the stadium, in terms of player investment, that kind of thing. But the important thing here is that the Glazers are not receiving their asking price. So something has to change.
Completely. If you own a house and you don't get the asking price from the bidder or someone who wants to buy your house, guess what you do? You don't sell the house, do you? You do negotiate or you talk, but, you know, it's very rarely that you're going to come down unless there's a reason that you have to leave. Like, you have to, like, it's time to leave because of this, that, the other. We know that's not really the case with the Glazers. They're trying to speculate to accumulate. I'm really, really glad that you brought up the whole Washington Commanders scene, because that has really been one of the massive talking points behind the scenes and with ourselves in the football community about it, about why there's been this kind of impasse, about why they can't get over this hurdle, is that in the NFL, if you're going to take what is a very limited franchise in terms of its potential for success, but also its fan base. So Washington, obviously the original Redskins were a big NFL team franchise. They are a historical franchise going back over times, but they're on their knees. They've had problems and they're going for a round. They went for that kind of $5.5 billion to six mark. Manchester United has approximately about 20 times more fans globally, 20 times. So United got about 1 billion fans. So you can go do the maths. Ultimately, this is not that difficult. And I think this is why, you know, everyone who watches our show, including us here, we're all part of social media, we're all part of Twitter. We all see the noise, we all feel the noise. But there's been something that's quite sinister about this whole process, about what Manchester United needs or what the truth is. The truth is, Scott, is that the Glazers need that offer that get them out the door, whatever that is. I want them gone. You want them gone. I don't know anyone that says to me directly to my face, I'd really like the Glazers to stay. There's a few people that go, oh, they're not as bad as people say. But I disagree with that. I think they've been heinous for Manchester United. That's why we are where we are today. I also completely understand that this is a business transaction, and business transactions do not happen like that. That's why this has gone on for so long. But I also know, and I will stick to it, is that Qatar is literally the only entity that can give the Glazers what they want as a whole. And they could have done that 6 months ago or a year ago or whatever. They could have done it easily because they've got the money and they won't do it. So the question has to be, why? Why are you not doing it when you're almost infinitely rich? What, because you think Man United's not worth six because you think it's worth five? Or this is small change for these people, isn't it? For these nation states. That's also why we talk about sports washing so much, because there's so much money in those countries looking to buy football clubs. So we are where we are. Nothing has changed. The original report for Radcliffe going into the lead was from Bloomberg. So Bloomberg, obviously not a football source directly, but they've been very interested in this because it's a big business transaction. My personal opinion on that is that there has been no movement in the last 6 months on that. So that Jim Radcliffe is the only buyer who is willing to do it the longer way to get rid of the Glazers over that 3 to 4 year period. And I know that fans don't want that. I know fans are like, full sale now, hashtag this, hashtag the other, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, the Glazers don't see your hashtags. The Glazers don't know what we are as a fan base. They are comfortable in Florida away from all of us, and they're not really interested in the noise. They understand it, they're informed, but they don't really care. What you said about the Commanders is exactly right, is that they look at the NFL franchises and they go, hang on, Manchester United is multiple times bigger than these franchises, and yet it's only worth half a billion more. That cannot make sense to them. And that is part of the problem here.
Yeah, unfortunately, no matter which way you look at it, the Glazers are in absolute full control of Manchester United. And it's awful for every United fan who wants to see change, who wants to see full sale. And Rob and I are no different. But if you're bidding and you have the money that is able to potentially tempt the Glazers to sell, you have to put it up. And unfortunately, until that happens, the Glazers are going to stay put and stay where they are. And just ride it out until they do get a price, because there's inflation's only going one way, money's only going one way. It's going like this, really. There's potential TV deals down the line that the Glazers could just sit around and wait for, which are going to line their pockets even more. So somebody's got to do something to change their mind. Nobody has done it yet. And the indication is that Sir Jim Ratcliffe is willing to be more malleable and change his approach in order to get the club. So that for me shows that there's a lot of will that Qatar are saying that they have to get United, but their actions do not match what they're saying.
Totally. And I think it's also worth pointing out, Scott, that when fans choose a side, so whether that be Qatar, Ratcliffe being the two primary aspects we're talking about here, is that all of us, including you and me, are choosing men, because it is men, primarily here, people we don't know. We don't know them. Like when you choose Sheikh Jassim or you choose Jim Ratcliffe, you really don't know. You don't know if they're going to be a good owner. You just presume that you look at other models and go, well, City did this at this club. Now Newcastle are doing that. Okay, we would like a little bit of that. But I just think it's really curious that these infinitely rich families and parties from the Middle East who are interested in Manchester United just will not stump the cash up for it. It's I don't get it. And it cannot be. I've seen it on a lot of the fan channels say it, Scott. And they kind of say, oh, but you know, they shouldn't be fleeced. You can't fleece them just because they're billionaires. Yes, you can. That's exactly how it works. Is that if you've got loads of money, I want more of that money. And that's all the Glazers are kind of doing. So I'm not sympathetic to them at all.
Why is that a point? Like, why is that a thing? Because the only people that matter in this are the Glazers. The only people. Like, they are the ones in control. The only people who need to be satisfied are the Glazers. Otherwise, they can sit there. And I'm not saying I like it, but that's the way it is.
I think it's just a view of modern populism with the internet and with Twitter, is that that is the narrative. That is the narrative, is that, oh, you know, why should they pay 6 billion? They should pay 5 billion. It's more than enough money. The Glazers are greedy. Yeah, the Glazers are greedy. They've been greedy since day one. We know what they are. We absolutely know that they are that Jabba the Hutt figure in the background there, sat there smoking its pipe. That's what the Glazers are to Manchester United and Man United fans. To all of us, they are the problem. But they also hold all the cards. They're at the table, they're at the poker table, and they know, I know what you've got, I know what you've got, I know what you've got, we're all in, what are you lot going to do? Come, fight us, take us on. So that's why the Glazers, as an entity, are dangerous, because they don't actually have to do anything, Scott. They could just sit on it and go, no, you know what, one day we'll get what we want, and you lot will have to suffer through it. And I think the things with football fans and with Man United fans, so we're not trying to take a pop out of anyone here, you can have your preference of what you want, but I think ultimately we all do want the same thing. We really want the Glazers gone, and we would like a different style of ownership. And I still think the salient version of that is that Manchester United becomes a self-fulfilling business, that it pays for its own thing, it earns enough money, it comes into the club, we're debt-free, and we find ways to slowly but surely build the club back to where it should be. Like, we know we're nowhere near that today, aren't we? It doesn't come with sugar daddies. It really doesn't. It comes with really strong business ethics. And that's what concerns me more about Qatar, is that, you know, we've seen PSG being owned by Qatar, haven't we, for 10 years, Scott? Well, yeah, right. You win the league every year and you've won stuff. How's that gone? It's not great. I know plenty
that's
of people.
I think that's a failure. They're not the Champions League yet.
There are PSG fans now protesting against Qatar. It's real. That's true. And because it's the other side of the water here, I think English fans generally kind of just go, well, we don't need to look at that. That doesn't fit what we're talking about here. So again, this is not pro Qatar against Qatar, pro Jim against Jim. This is literally about where are we in the state of play. And the Glazers here, it pays for them to play the long game, Scott, because they still get their dividends when the quarters are up. They still get their money, which is why one of the reasons why they do it. And if the roof's leaking at Old Trafford, who cares? They don't care, do they? Man United lose a game one week. Who cares? They would have just comes up on their phones. We've lost a football match. Oh, well, we still earn our money. So I think we have to be really careful about this and about kind of looking at the direction and the flow of it. As I think that the Glazers have always wanted a minority stake, Scott. I think I said that on the first time we spoke about it. The Glazers would love someone to come in and give them that billion to rebuild Old Trafford. They'd love that. Great. And then find a way to structurally move away from Manchester United in terms of their own responsibilities. But that's a long process. And Full Sail Now, you can scream it to blue in the face. And it's I get why. But there's nothing happening now. There's nothing happening now. It's going to be a long, long game to get rid of these owners because they understand that they are in full control. And if Qatar want the football club, they're going to have to give them a blank check. So here's a blank check, get out the club. And that would probably end up being an incredible amount of money. It might be 7 billion, Scott, 8 billion. But these numbers mean kind of nothing to the common man, does it? Because it's like it's way above our station. But in business, this is how they operate. This is how billionaires operate.
Yeah, Rob and I, neither of us are saying, you know, no support to the Glazers at all. Rob and I aren't taking sides here. We're just saying, like, nobody has done enough yet.
Not yet.
To make the Glazers sell. And that's why 11 months down the line, there is no development.
Yeah. Basically. We mentioned some wrestling at the top of the show there. And I think there's a good example there with maybe the WWE merger. I'm going to mention that with Vince McMahon. Because Vince McMahon obviously is the, you know, being the emperor of wrestling for years, you know, ran the organization, ran WWE, you know, full control of everything. And when he got the offer that he needed, partly through Saudi and partly through the merger with UFC, he then went, yeah, I'm all right with that. I'm still going to be on the board, but, you know, I'm good with that because I'm going to get
my... No one ever thought he'd sell.
No one ever thought he would because it's like a statement of intent. And of course, he's getting older and he's thinking, well, I still want to be able to control stuff, but I just don't want to have to bother with most of it. I just want the money because I'm a billionaire. That's exactly what he's done. He's put other people in charge of his part and they've merged with the UFC. Can you imagine, Scott, 10 years ago, anyone saying that WWE, you know, the fake side of the business and UFC, the real side of the business, become one? No one could have predicted that. And that's exactly where we stand today in that sport. I'm going to call it sport.
TKO.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's what it is. And that's how it's gone. And Manchester United, kind of very similar in that aspect, is that you've got some owners that are very, very motivated by certain things. And they're not actually motivated to be doing the right thing. They don't need that. Vince McMahon never thought that. He didn't think, I want WWE customers to be happy. He thought, I want me to be happy. I want my family to be happy. And the Glazers are like that. And I think this is also with Qatar. I think Qatar are doing the same thing. They want to be happy themselves, own Manchester United. Then in that case, put the money up. Put the money up and do it. And match Jim's bid and outbid him. Yes. And do that. If you really want the house, you know, go to the owner of the house and say, you know, we love this house. This is everything to us. And we're going to build the extension and we're going to take it on and we're going to make this road better, you know, and we're going to do it because we've got the power to do it. Well, you have Qatar. So do it. Don't talk about it anymore. Don't pay social media accounts to put Qatar flags on them. Don't ask people to back you when you're not actually putting something on the table that's backable.
I like to imagine that every time we get a report, like every 3-4 weeks, it's talks are continuing that like all of the relevant parties who are trying to buy and trying to sell are just sat around a table for the last 11 months all the time saying, hey, here's our latest offer.
Here's another penny. Here's another pound. I tell you what. Now he did this today, right? I'm doing that. Like it's so odd that people
constant
kind of think,
talks.
Yeah, it's and you know it is that narrative. Like you just talk about again wrestling heel and baby face. It's a bit like that, isn't it? Is that one moves ahead and it becomes the story, and then the other one moves ahead. The only thing that's absolutely 100% true for Manchester United fans is that
swimsuit check, sunscreen check, phone charger check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They've been manipulated through this whole process, completely manipulated, taking their emotions and using it to be. And that's why we've said we don't really want to talk about it. We don't want to go down that route because we are both Manchester United fans. We don't want to play those games. But I see it, Scott, with even fan channels talking in that way about, you know, one day it's so Jim Ratcliffe's going to buy the club, and the next day they're putting out Qatar's buying the football club. That must absolutely wreck a ton of Man United fans' emotions around the world. And I think it's unfair. I really, really do.
I'm completely numb to it. I don't know about you. I'm just completely numb to it. And until something changes, you know, I don't think apathetic. We're going to get any. Yeah, apathetic is a good word.
Yeah, I feel numb to some of our football at times. Like when you watch it and it's bad and you kind of go, and you kind of like have to bite your nails. But I tell you what, there's got to be a lot of apathy around this bit, because like so much of what's being talked about isn't anywhere near the truth. And I think it just becomes this soap opera. And that to me is definitely, I think it's quite sad to see more than anything. And it makes us a laughing stock of world football.
Yeah, anyway, let us know your comments. That was a bit of a long section. But let us know your comments, what you think might happen. If you think that, are the Glazers going to drop their asking price? I don't think they are. Never.
No. Not gonna anything happen. It's going up.
If anything, it's going up. Even though United are terrible.
We are one of four football clubs in world football, ourselves, Liverpool, Real Madrid, and Barcelona. We are probably the only four clubs in the world that can play awful and have a higher valuation. That's the truth, because we are cultural cornerstones of people's lives. Yeah, and you can't do that at, say, Tottenham Hotspur. You can't. Or even Arsenal, being honest. You can't, because they are smaller football clubs and they have large fan bases and they are large teams, but they do not have the same connections with such a wide amount of people so far globally. Man United, 1 billion fans worldwide, Scott. What's that, 6th of the world? There's a lot of people.
So, we wait and see. Maybe, like, something could change in the space of 24 hours. It could.
Always,
like,
yeah.
If a decision is made on either party's side to go, right, we're going to do this, and then if the Glazers are like, oh, okay, we'll take that. Like that, it could be done. It could be. But we're nowhere near that happening as it stands. But it could change in the space of a few hours. But
or
we're
ill
not-
health. Like if something happened to Glazers, like say with Joel Glazer or Avram Glazer, something like that, or ill health happened as they get older, then there is maybe that need to kind of release assets. So you then go, okay, oh, you knocked on our door a year ago. Let's talk about a sale here. And that does happen. That's really common, I think, with aging billionaires, is that they move on. But of course, we know that this is a family of owners. This is like, there's about 20 of them, but there's no doubt there's two blokes that really run the show. They might want to release assets at some point, Scott, but is that happening today? I don't know. Like, as you said, things can change very, very quickly.
But we're not there yet. And every kind of report that comes out that says, so Jim's ahead or Qatar are ahead. Like, it's gone on so long now that I think whoever actually takes a decisive move and cracks it will probably end up getting it, unless it just accelerates again. But, you know, we will see how this develops. We're 11 months into this process of strategic alternatives or investments, which it was it was never declared by the Glazers that this would be a full sale. It was never, ever declared.
Exactly.
That has become the dominant narrative. And I don't want to, like, I don't want to upset people here, but they never said that was happening in the first place.
We did our content on the statement. You know, when the statement came out and we read it and we read it and we read it and we read it and we asked people and we asked people, that was exactly the feedback, is that, well, this doesn't mean it's a full sale. It's like the first thing they said. It's like, this is about investment. And we knew that Liverpool were trying to do the same thing. So it was like, this is kind of similar thing. But then, of course, it became this story, didn't it? That Man United, it was full sale. Qatar wanted the club, et cetera, et cetera. Scott, I just want to end the segment on this one thing. I want to put this to our viewers, yeah, and to our audience, because I want this interaction, because I want to hear what people think, yeah. There's a lot of people here that watch our show that only want Qatar, and that's fine. I'm cool with that. That's up to people. But I want to know why a trillionaire country, organisation, and family that's got infinite wealth is not buying the football club that you want them to buy. I want this, people go in the comments and tell me, because I'm really interested in this, because everyone's got a different take on it. And my only take on it is that I don't know. I don't understand why, that if you've got so much wealth and you just click your fingers and you get what you want, don't you? And they are not doing it. So why are they playing on your emotions and our emotions? Go in our comments, fill it up. Tell us on Twitter, tell us on our socials, speak to us, because I want to know why fans, what they feel about this, because I'm sure there is actually some apathy now leaking in, Scott, with fan base, and people are thinking, is this actually real? I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Get us on social media at @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_P, and @PromisandMU, all on X, which the amount of fake news I've seen on that platform over the last few days about this topic actually is just truly incredible stuff. Really is. The Glazers have decided to sell to Qatar. No. Like, it's gone ridiculous over the last few days. But, you know, when we get something, I know we've done half an hour on this, but when we get something solid and when we get something, we'll talk about it. But, 100%. You know, I think I was a bit frustrated with it, and I think Rob's a bit frustrated with it. But, you know, you can direct your anger and your energy at the Glazers, and I think it's completely justified to do that. But the fact of the matter is, there's one party in control of this football club, and until they get what they want, they are staying. And exactly. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. You've got to look at the people who are trying to buy United and say, you have to do more to get it off of these guys. You have to.
Definitely.
And that's where the Qatar up their bid. So Jim is the one that is trying to find a way in. And, you know, whether it works, it's going to be long game. But if it works, it works.
Completely. And I actually think there is a story here, Scott, on top of this, is that the Glazers might not actually believe that Qatar really want the football club. Because there isn't, like, you know, a notable journalist from a notable organization said that Qatar are still negotiating. It's not kind of what we're hearing. We're not actually hearing a lot of that Qatar are like sat in the London offices of Manchester United going, right, let's hammer out a deal. That's not really what we're hearing.
For 11 straight months they've been sat in that room.
They've not been anywhere. They're all rotting and covered in cobwebs, aren't they now? They've just been there saying the same thing over and over again. As I keep saying, you know, the Glazers don't read your Twitter accounts, guys. They don't read mine. They don't read Scott's. So, you know, the Glazers feel they're very much in control of this. It is up to Qatar to put the money up, or it's up to Sir Jim Ratcliffe to find a way that's a notable exit strategy for these billionaires who want their money.
Let's move on. Rasmus Højlund has been named in the Golden Boy Top 25. At the top of the show, previous winners who used to play for Manchester United or still play for Manchester United, Wayne Rooney, Anderson, Paul Pogba, and Anthony Martial, who I think it was 2015 that he won that. So, fair play. I mean, Rasmus is on that short list of, I believe it's 25. It's been narrowed down from about 50, I think. I don't think he'll win it because Jude Bellingham's absolutely ripping it up at Real Madrid and has had a great year. Probably be him who wins it. But it's a good thing, isn't it?
Rasmus is a good thing.
A promising player.
For him, it's a good thing. Like, I think that, you know, making this jump to Manchester United, I know it wasn't a very difficult decision for him. You know, he's a lot of money, got paid well, and this is a huge opportunity for him coming to our football club. But it does obviously elevate your status to a completely brand new level, doesn't it? And I think the Golden Boy recognition is really good for those kind of elite standard footballers in that kind of top 25, top 50 bracket. And if you're mentioned even in that breath, like, it's interesting that the players that you just mentioned, they have Manchester United origin who have won it before, yeah? And we talked about Anderson off camera, didn't we? And when we signed Anderson in that deal, and it was the same kind of time, wasn't it, when we signed Nani and we bought them, again, they came from Portugal, and that was the year before we last won the Champions League in Moscow. Notable and scored his penalty there. I was there behind the goal for that. Is that Anderson did have a lot of this upside, and he was probably like the best number 10 in the world when he won that, like, as for his age group, 17 to 18 year old. And he came to Man United and became a number 8 and a bit average, and it never really worked for him. But I think with Rasmus Højlund, we all know that he's a number 9 and he's going to be our number 9. And by hell or high water, that's the way United are going to go with this attack, is that they have to build around his centre forward attributes. So I'm pleased for him because I think it's just another shot in the arm for him. It's that, you know, he goes out there and wears our shirt with that badge on his chest. He knows that he's rated worldwide, that people do have these expectations of him.
Yeah. Should we just brush past? Do you have any more to say there? I mean, there's not really a lot in it, really, is there?
No, good luck to him. Like, he's not going to win it. He really is not going to win it. And winning it doesn't really mean a lot anyway. It's just, you know, like, Jude Bellingham's going to win it. It's like, who else could win it at the moment? He's ripping it up at Real Madrid, isn't he? And he looks like a right Don strutting around every football pitch he plays on. But no, please for Rasmus, because I think it's just a nice little tick against his name. He can feel good about it.
Right, final topic of the show. It's been a wrestling-themed show. so far.
It has, hasn't it?
Lots of wrestling references, and as I mentioned at the top, Harry Maguire seems to have turned babyface. If you don't know what that means, it basically means he's gone from bad guy to good guy over the course of, you know, we might have even seen a double turn. Erik ten Hag has turned heel, apparently. And, you know, Harry Maguire obviously got the assist for the McTominay winner against Brentford last weekend, and played pretty well in the appearance before that he had. He played pretty well in the last couple of games. Should probably play for England during this international break. Gareth Southgate loves him, et cetera, et cetera. And he faced the media a couple of days ago, and it's been floating around this week, comments from him about his situation at United. And I noticed that in that press conference, which is, there's been a few clips that come out of it, Maguire says some interesting things. I think, obviously, there's been a lot of focus on the abuse that he's received, which he received a call from David Beckham, who, I'm guessing you've seen the Beckham documentary by now, if you're a United fan. Really good watch. I would advise watching that. Harry Maguire has obviously had a lot to go through in the last few years, and David Beckham called him to help him out after he was booed against Scotland. That was one part to come out of it. Obviously, he's not been playing for Manchester United either. So a lot of questions were about that. A lot of questions were about the West Ham move that failed. And Maguire essentially said, I was never really in a position. It was between the clubs. People like David Moyes have said something a little bit different. But where do you want to start, Rob? Where should we start?
Let's talk about Maguire's form and obviously the interview and go that route. So I think the last couple of games that he's played, obviously in that Crystal Palace cup match that we won, and then obviously featuring in this last incredible, mad ending of a football match against Brentford. I think that Harry Maguire has earned his minutes. I'm kind of all right with that. Again, have to keep saying the same thing. I would have sold him in the summer, no doubt about it. I'd have taken that money, bought Kim Min-jae. Boring, boring, boring. But you are where you are here, yeah. Harry Maguire is still at your football club. So we talked there about what he said in terms of his status at Manchester United and West Ham. In his England interview, if people haven't seen it, and not probably a lot of Man United fans globally might not have seen the press conference. But he talked West Ham up. He said West Ham are a great club and kind of said that two or three times, but made it absolutely crystal clear that it kind of wasn't up to him at the end of the day. It was up to Man United. And I agree with that. Man United had to find a way to get the player out of the football club and to meet West Ham's valuation and vice versa. One of the things he did say, Scott, which I think was the note of the whole interview, was that he said, I'm not going to carry on doing this forever. He was like, if Man United don't want me, I'm not playing, then I obviously won't be at Man United. This is not a player digging his heels in, I don't think. He wants his money. He wants to be paid. Of course. Who doesn't?
Well, that was the impression in the summer.
That was the impression put out by Manchester United journalists connected to the centre of Manchester United. So make your own mind up about that. Right, it wasn't what we were saying. It wasn't what I was saying. So everyone's got their connections to United, but there was definitely a narrative coming out from the football club about Harry Maguire. And I just thought it was unfair because it wasn't what we were hearing. It was not what we were hearing from West Ham. It wasn't what we were hearing from Maguire. And it wasn't what we were hearing from important sources at Manchester United. So United didn't get him out of the club. They also didn't get Scott McTominay out of the club. They didn't get other players out of the club. They got rid of Fred Scott because they let him go on the cheap in general. Like, he went for relatively low fee, 11 million or whatever it was, 11, 12, 13 million. And Man United struggled to move players out of the football club because they just didn't do the negotiations hard enough, didn't work it. I think Harry Maguire would be at West Ham now if United had negotiated with his team, found a way out in terms of the pay packet and helped him out the door, but they didn't. And the funny thing is now, Scott, we're going to be talking about Harry Maguire playing for Man United, because that's what's going to happen. I think when you look at Varane's injury record, and we know what's going on with Lisandro Martinez, is that what are your choices? You haven't really got a lot, have you? So I like what Maguire did in those two games. And that header, to me, means a lot. Like, he went up there right at the end. He did his job. He got the ball across to Scotty. And Scotty himself did his job, didn't he? You know, someone that people saying, oh, McTominay should never play for United again. Us included. He goes
what
and helps
a spell he's having, by the way. That free kick last night that was disallowed for Scotland was
you got to start leaning on what players are good at, I think, sometimes, isn't it? And sometimes try to negate what they're bad at. And I think that's on the manager. And as you just said there, the heel turn in wrestling again, is that there's been a lot of talk in the last week or two about just how bad life is under Erik ten Hag for everyone. A prominent Talk Sport presenter put it out there that he's been talking to people at Man United and those players are not happy. I think the words were, they're not having ten Hag, direct quote. And it's false and it's fake. So you can all decide what you think about that. And that is not what is being said from the core of the camp.
Even if that was the vibe, sorry to interrupt you, Rob.
No,
even if that was the case, that is the same problem that United have had for the last 10 years.
Hmm.
Oh, look, this manager's making me work too hard.
Hmm.
Oh, I don't like him. I would like somebody else. There's been suggestions that maybe Sancho could go on loan and stay through the rest of the season and say, yeah. Oh, maybe if we have a new manager at the end of the season, then, you know, everything will be fine again. What happens in a year, 2 years, when they decide they don't like that manager either? That we've been through this process over and over and over again. You need to get rid of the players that feel like that. You have to identify them and sell them. That's the end of it. Even if you're left with two of them.
That's the irony with the Sancho part of this story, isn't it, with Ten Hag, is that Man United could just back the manager and sell the player. That would be the kind of easy way to do it. Take a hit, take a loss, move it on, do that. But it's actually Man United, Scott, that are perpetrating that. They're like, well, actually, we let him go out on loan for 6 months. He might play well somewhere. And actually, 6 months, we might not like this manager anymore. Actually, we might sack him and bring back Sancho. And you know what, Scott? That is not beyond the realms of possibility with the Glazers. It just isn't. We've seen it kind of before. So I think that's the sad aspect here. And then it's very easy for media organisations to say stuff like all the players are not having it. That's not what we're hearing. And, you know, it wasn't what we were hearing back with the previous manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. That was not what was coming out of camp, even though that was the populist view, was that the players had had enough of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Yes, they had right at the very end, but all that period up to there where results were up and down, you know, it was only the year before they came second. You know, they weren't actually like going, oh, we want to get rid of the manager. And there wasn't that kind of disharmony in the camp that there was them say on when Jose Mourinho was the manager. So I don't believe that disharmony is there now. And I don't work for any of them. Like, I don't have to toe a party line. You know, when it comes to Manchester United, I can just go from what we know and instincts around some of those stuff when people say stuff to you. But no, there isn't that there at the moment. But United players have to prove it, don't they? It's just no doubt about it. They have to somehow make what Erik ten Hag wants to achieve at Manchester United. They have to make it a reality.
Yeah, we will see where we go with that. But yeah, Harry Maguire's been doing his talking. Rob, I said at the top of the show, the international break means that we need some stories. Can you imagine if United had a loss to Brentford and how different the conversation would be?
That's what I said to you. I said it on our show last week. I went, that was the big relief for me, was that this whole period from Brentford to even now and then the next week would have literally just been that. And thank God the flames were quelled by that victory, because it would have been a totally different kettle of fish. It would have been a lot harder, and Man United fans would have really suffered. Instead, what you're getting is Jim Ratcliffe's moved into the lead. Like, that's what you're getting instead, because that is kind of playing on emotions again. But yeah, we will have to talk, Scott, more about Harry Maguire in the weeks ahead, about whether he plays for Man United. And I'm looking at other players in the squad, and I'm kind of thinking, yeah, I'd probably play Maguire ahead one or two of them at the moment. Not my choice, but that's probably where you are.
That's where you are at the minute. And, you know, Erik ten Hag can only do what he can. He needs support from those above him. And it's as much about the players you bring in it's as much about the players you sell as it is the ones you bring in.
Completely.
And unfortunately, United have put themselves in a position where they've given a hell of a lot of players, a hell of a lot of money, and a hell of a lot more than most other clubs can afford. So when you think... Well, I often question, why don't they, you know, get rid of this player? But you know the reasons why. Because there's other clubs there who are like, well, he's on way too much money than we can afford. That's nowhere near our wage structure.
Totally.
So United have to take a hit on either paying wages or they take a hit on the transfer fee. And that's the situation they got themselves in. Because people in key positions doing these contracts and doing these transfers over the last few years have given inflated contracts to players who had just gone on to underperform. So it's a process which is beyond Ten Hag. Yes, he's culpable for some things and he needs to get a tune out of United players. He needs to get results. And I don't think, well, if he goes through this next period now, not getting not picking up wins and going up the table, his job will be in danger. But if that happens, don't think with the next guy that anything's going to change. That's all I'm
totally. And squad building also means squad dismantling. And that's why I always go with that mantra of that you very rarely see fire sales. You very see like players sell 10 players in one big chunk, because you said it's all about contracts and that slows it down. But do you know the other thing that slows it down, Scott, is that when transfer windows and transfer periods are closed like they are today, it makes it almost impossible for a manager to change stuff. You just have what you have. You've got your pieces on the chessboard and you've got 400 moves you can make, but God forbid you make one wrong one, because then it's on you, isn't it? And that's kind of where Man United are. And you know, we'll talk more in depth as well in weeks ahead about, I think, like the centre-back position. We'll talk about Rafa Varane, because I think that's going to become more notable. But you need to get players fit and you need somehow to get them into form. And that's the only thing really that can keep Ten Hag going now. Like, say, a run of 4, 5, 6 wins where that's where you absolutely shut everyone up. And it becomes a boring story again, and people don't want to talk about it. People didn't want to talk about it last year, Scott, except maybe some very extreme people who were like, oh, Ten Hag's this, that, the other. He's never proved it. But you win a trophy, you come top four, you shut people up. When you play poorly, like we have been, you've had injuries, very, very easy to be attacked.
Well, United aren't going to lose another game for a week, at least.
They'll be unbeaten.
So that's a plus. And that's the end. That's the end of the show. I think we'll wrap it there. But yeah, I hope you've enjoyed. We went on a lot about the ownership situation. And if you have any thoughts on that, get in touch with us at @_ Scott Saunders, @_Rob_B, and @PromiseSandMU for the show. Get us on X, Instagram, TikTok for me, X and YouTube for Rob, and X for the Promise Sand show. As well, subscribe wherever you get your pods and watch us on YouTube, The Promise and a Manchester United podcast. Like the video, subscribe, and leave a comment for us as well. Pop the notification bell on so you never miss a show. And Rob, final word to you.
Happy international break. Looking forward to the football coming back. And after that Brentford game, we kind of need it, don't we? We need that first match back. Get back in the groove of it. See what these boys can do.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We will see you next week for another Promised Land podcast. And until then, have a great weekend and see you soon.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.